The first reading for this evening is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 to 31. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led to sin and do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. The second reading for this evening is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will help himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading for this evening is from John chapter 16, verses 29 to 33. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "You believe at last," Jesus answered, "but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. The
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. A shepherd protects. A shepherd keeps alive those that are under his care. Of course, God, as the good shepherd, cares for every human need. And ultimately, Christ alone is the one who restores us, restores our soul, and as he sacrifices his life for his sheep, we have the fullness of life given to us. Step right up. I have got an offer that is made for you. Something that you truly need. Something that is going to help you with all your problems, all your needs, all your ailments, all your struggles, all your griefs, all your pains. I've got it right here in this little bottle. Well, the bottle's a little bit bigger, but I can sell you the smaller size. It'll only cost you double. And it'll grant you quadruple the benefits. Trust me, you can count on it. My snake oil is the best snake oil there is. You know, but looking at a few of you out there, I think that probably just the regular snake oil might not be what you need. You want a love potion. That's what you want. It's here in this bottle too. It'll take care of your love. It'll bring that person over to your way of thinking. I guarantee it. It's all right here. And if you act right now, I'll throw in this memory elixir. It's all right here. It's in it. Now, I know some of you need the memory elixir. Yeah. I see some of you pointing at the person next to you saying they need the memory elixir. We can get you covered. And if you act now, again, with only a little extra shipping and handling, We'll throw in this healing liniment right here in this bottle. Yes, you got it. This will take care of it. I don't care what the aches are, what the pains are, what the griefs are. This will finish at least for the night. You won't have any more problems to complain about. I guarantee you just a little bit of this. Oh, but you know what? Some of you may just be looking for something to really refresh you. I've got dehydrated water right here. Add a gallon of water, and I guarantee you, you'll have a full gallon of water by the time you're done mixing it. Not a problem. All right here in my little bottle. But there's more. Yes, there's more, because as I look at some of you out there, I know you could use the hair restorer. Yeah, that's a Lutheran disease, I think, right there. Hair restorer, we got your hair restorer, so it's here too. But then what really most of you probably need and are truly looking for is a soul restorer. Unfortunately, this bottle comes up just a little bit short in that area. Sorry, Lamb. Because that's where we have to read to you the disclaimers. You know, you get those disclaimers when they tell you, here's this medicine that's going to heal you on TV. It'll take care of your blood pressure. It'll take care of your cholesterol. It'll take care of your depression. There's one good possible outcome from whatever this medicine is that they're saying on TV. And probably they didn't actually develop the medicine for that. It was a side effect, as it turns out. It was for something else, and it didn't really work as well there. That happens a lot, too. But then they go into this list of 15 to 20 things that are bad. You know, it'll cause a rash, it could cause headaches, it could cause fungus or bad breath. Don't worry if you have a little eye twitching or stomach pains, that'll go away, and the hair loss is not a big deal. Shivers, some profuse sweating, some blurred vision, some finger swelling, and even the uncontrollable sneezing, and they're telling you all this while the people are walking along smiling and thinking all these things that could go wrong to them, and they're not worried about it at all because, sure, it's going to lower your cholesterol a couple of points. Don't worry about all these other things. I remember one commercial very distinctly that said that their product could cause difficulty breathing, heart attacks, and even death. And if you should experience any one of these symptoms, you should call your doctor immediately. Yeah, how's that going to work? If I experience death, I'm going to call my doctor immediately. I never could figure that one out. But yeah, stop taking it if you die. Definitely stop taking it if you die. As a Christian, we may think sometimes that being a sheep under the Good Shepherd, being a child of God, well, that should really exempt us from some of the troubles, some of the pains, some of the distress that comes about in this world, and we see very clearly that it doesn't. And even King David, as he wrote this psalm, he's one that we read in a lot of his psalms, he was very, very clear that there were a lot of times that he experienced distress and troubles and problems, and he continued to come back to the Lord for that relief, for that restoring of his soul, and that's where he always found his comfort, was back with God. It wasn't through anything else, but he knew who the shepherd was to return to have his soul truly restored. What might frustrate some people as Christians, thinking that we should be able to be exempt from these things, we just really don't seem to understand the way our sin has caused us to fall so far away from God, perhaps. I think of the word sheepish, and there's a reason why we have a word sheepish, named after these animals, that because of the way that they behave. We can be cautious, we can be timid, we can be a rather weak animal at times in our herd, and that's the way sheep are. We can be the same way. People can have that fear of danger, that lack of endurance, the troubles that cause us to be a little overcautious, perhaps even at times, and as we go through hardships, we're feeling kind of like that sheep that's not been trimmed in a long time, really weighted down with the wool on our lives. We're being pulled down, but usually it's because of something of our own making. The sheep make their wool and it weighs them down indeed, but does that work for us? Well, I think it does in a sense. We create a lot of our own frustrations. In fact, the biggest frustration I think that we create for ourselves is the recognition that we just don't listen to God like we should. I mean, we know what God says and we still go the other way. We do the other thing. We think the other thing is right, and we take what God has said and we kind of turn it on its end and make it to be what we want it to be. We know what the Bible says we should do, what God wants for us, and yet we don't always do it. For example, now, it doesn't apply in all cases for all people, but in certain circumstances, we know there are times when we should be attending church more regularly. We know that that's what God would desire from us, but we don't do it. We know we should be reading our Bible a little more faithfully, spending a little more time in prayer than what we do, but we don't do it. We know we should be supporting the work of the church, giving back to God, returning to God from the gifts He has given us, those tithes and offerings, but we don't do it. We know what God says that we should be about as far as talking about Him, telling others about Him, and yet when the opportunity arrives, we don't do it. Wouldn't it be better? What would the world be like if we're not going to start with all the world. We're going to start with just all the Christians. If all those who truly claim a faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they started listening to God, following God, and acting like the children of God that they have been made to be. If we truly lived up to what God's desire for us was. He calls us to be holy as He's holy. Now we know that that's actually not fully possible until we've left this life, because we have to have the sin removed from us to be holy. But we're on that path. We're in the midst of having our souls restored already. But we still got a ways to go. We're not there yet. But what if we started with the Christians of the world, and if they all started living more faithfully for the Lord, if all of the Christians started worshiping together, all of them, we'd have to build more churches. If all of the Christians started supporting all the missions and the ministries, we wouldn't have to be asking for monies to send people overseas to other places where we need to get the word still. Our neighborhoods would be transformed. Our communities would be so different. Maybe let's just lower it down, because that's a lot to ask still for all Christians. What if we could just do it with our church, with just the body of Christ in this place, if we acted more faithfully in our life with God? Just those of us that are part of this family. If our souls were restored to the point that we all truly desired to live up to the fullest potential of this life. But maybe that's still a little bit too much to ask. Maybe we just need to do it individually, one by one, you for your sake and me for my sake, and looking in at ourselves, recognizing what God is wanting for us, for me. What does God expect of me? And I'll just seek to hold myself accountable, and you hold yourself accountable for the way God wants you to live your life. I mean, really, what is your soul's desire? Because I can guarantee you, if you look at where your time, treasures, and talents go, that's your soul's desire. Is it to the Lord? God calls us to be His people. God leads us to be His people. He leads us into those green fields. He leads us to those still waters, and He restores our soul. If we continue to walk with God, if we continue to follow Him in the green pastures and to the still waters, there will be some times when we still need a little more relief, but we're going to be a lot better off serving God than we were before we were serving Him. And we're going to find ourselves a lot healthier, a lot happier, maybe not all health in body, but truly in our spirits, knowing that even in the midst of some of the physical struggles that these bodies will face because of sin, that God is with us and that God loves us still and God still has use for us and desires us to come to Him. We find ourselves in need of restoration in our souls, and God is the one who promises that He can take care of that. But our rest continues to, unfortunately, depend on ourself, on what's inside of you. Your rest depends on you, because you're only going to find this rest in peace in God if that's something you're really desiring and wanting, because then you're going to search after it. Then you're going to read His Word. Then you're going to be in that prayer life. Then you're going to seek to serve Him and follow Him. You're going to be in that devotion time with God that will bless you in your soul. And what's really special here is these words, this "for He restores our soul," because the words are Joab and Nefesh. Joab is the word for that restoring, and Nefesh for soul. And it's a restoring that God does that is, I call it like a system reboot on a computer. Like you're having to completely start fresh. You've got something corrupt in there. You've got this bug. It won't work. It's not functioning. So we've got to basically erase the hard drive, put the disks in, and start it over as if it's brand new. That's what this word restore means. It's to reset us back to where we were at the beginning. It's to put us back to as we should have been, to take away the problems that have come along and to reset. I think of folks that do restoration things, like folks that do furniture restoration. I know some of you have done that. Car restoration, art restoration, house restorations. The desire is to make it as good as new. Maybe make it, you know, as if it's got the elements and the aspects of the old appearance, but it's still as good as new, to restore it to that pristine condition. That's what God wants to do with us. And when He says He restores our soul, that's what He promises to do. We've got to be following Him. We've got to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, with that, I shall not be in want of anything else. I'm not going to lack anything. He's the one that's going to lead me out and let me lay down in those green pastures and feed there. He's the one that's going to lead me beside the still waters that I'm going to be able to drink from and be refreshed from. And He's the one that's going to restore my soul. I'm not going to find it in the world. I'm not going to find it in other books outside of Holy Scripture. I'm not going to find it on the television. I'm not going to find it in a bottle. I'm not going to find it in a pill. I'm not going to find it in an office talking to other people at the water cooler. I'm not going to find it by calling an 800 number I see on TV. I'm not going to find it at the palmist lady over on Matlock. Those continue to confound me, really. I'm going to find it in God. And He's not hiding it. He's made it so simple for us. You go to somebody that's going to be your spiritual guide, and they're going to charge you for it. You go to this palmist, they're going to charge you for it. You go to the liquor store, they're going to charge you for it. I don't care where it is that you're trying to feed that crutch from, they're going to charge you for it. God's already paid the price for you, though. Jesus already took care of the tab. His death and his resurrection were the cost. And now he gives us the opportunity to have our souls restored by him completely. A generous dose of God's word in our life. A generous dose of that word of God and prayer life every day will do wonders for our mental stability. It will do wonders to eliminate a myriad of other things. The pills, needles, cocktails, psychiatrists. It won't solve absolutely everything. We still need doctors. We still need medicines and surgeons. God's given us these. And they're wonders. And we're thankful to God for them. But there's so much that can be taken care of with just a better relationship with the Savior. And that's certainly one of the best places to start. Set aside time to pray, time to listen, time to read. And truly, I'll tell you what, if you do a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more every day, come back to me in a couple weeks. And if your soul isn't feeling restored, I'll give you your money back. But I'd pray with you. And I guarantee you, we will find the answer. God. It's not hiding. The answer is not hiding. He's out in plain sight. And he's there for you. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our soul-restoring God. Amen.